In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read. At this time of year, if I were at home, I know that one of my aunts would be following a ritual, very precisely timed, of getting out her Christmas tree from the attic. And as she does that task, she always lets anyone who's there know that once it's together, it will look like the real thing. I've always thought that's probably the biggest indication that everyone knows that it won't. Advent is a time when the church's year calls us to what is real. In fact, if we look at the verses just ahead of the lesson for today, Luke says that one reason for writing his gospel is that things might be recorded rightly and truly, for others have taken in hand to write down some stories. And indeed, an exciting thing about putting Luke's gospel in the world of its day is that we know there were lots of other stories around. There were people like John of Gischala, who presented himself as the Messiah and who offered himself with great talent and verve in Galilee, and at one point had attracted something over 15,000 men to follow him as the new Savior of Israel. Indeed, as we get more texts, we find out there were many candidates. The teacher of righteousness at Qumran, there were many stories around. And the question becomes, which one is to be followed? Which one is real and true? And of course, that's where Luke holds before us what we would not have expected. An elderly priest. One scholar estimates there would have been at least 18,000 of them floating around. They were not distinguished. They did not get a kind of notice for their office. Indeed, this particular priest was doing what didn't seem that spectacular either. He was there in the temple doing what the law prescribed. More than that, his personal life was not visited with the marks of someone who should be looked to. His wife had not conceived, and their life seemed to be obscure in the extreme. But Luke records how this is where the God of all creation began his movement. He came to such a person, Zechariah. In fact, Zechariah couldn't himself believe that this was real. He protests, "I'm old, and my wife is old as well." And so he's given the sign of dumbness until the child is born. No, what Zechariah couldn't believe, we too are tempted in this time not to believe. But Luke holds before us the whole story. John the Baptist was born, and he announced the most real and true coming of all, God's coming into the flesh for us and for all of humanity. That sort of reality calls forth one response, repentance. And so the Baptist cried out to turn to God, to prepare his way. And in Advent, we heed that call and marvel at this true story and share this true story with our congregations and our culture. Think of how many people embrace what is unreal in these days. Have you tried to find a parking spot at Glenbrook? There's mass activity, mass commercialism, and it can be done rightly. But when it is done as all that there is, it misses reality. And the church, and we who are called to be its servants, holds before the world again this story about the real God who came to satisfy real human need, not in sound bites, not in momentary, spectacular events, but with the enfleshment, the ongoing presence of his Son. And that is a high and a noble calling, to call people to this reality. In the parish where I help a bit, there have been in the last 2 weeks 5 funerals. The way in which the world disguises death, the way in which that event doesn't fit the season, is not a problem for the Christian who sees what is real. Nor is it a problem for the Christian pastor who in Advent goes to that dying person and distributes the bread of life, and who holds before that person the one who came and was announced and who was victorious over death. I hope that a part of our Advent preparation can be a renewed appreciation that we are called to be real men, real people in a world that is so often false. We are not to try to devise an alternative story, nor an alternative means. We are called to speak the truth that John did, repent, and then to announce the one whom he announced. And at the baptismal font, to incorporate infants and adults into that one who was born. And to, by the bedside and at the altar, share his very body and his very blood. The real things of this universe are right there, and they are ours by his free gift. It is a glorious vocation that we all train for and now serve in. It is a glorious vocation that we need continually to think about and to think clearly upon. Being real is what Luke holds before us. And by his grace, we will be as real as the Baptist was. God grant us in these days a renewed sense of repentance and a vocation to announce the one and to be the messengers of that one. Amen.